Okay, beauty. So, hey, from Australia. How you doing, Peter?
Yeah, good, man.
How you doing, James?
Fine.
James has got a koala on his finger. Hey, we've seen some crazy stuff over the past couple of days. So there was a few classes that Peter, John, and James did yesterday. And at the end of the night, there was a sky view. And it was pouring in Sydney. So it's been pouring the last couple of days in Sydney. And actually, I was like, yeah, there's no way they're going to see craft. Like, there's just no way, right? And they saw the craziest craft almost I've ever seen, you know, documented. So, Peter, did you want to talk about that just for a sec?
Yeah. So, do you want me to hold this yet? So, yeah, we just finished the workshop part. It was before we were getting to some Yigong and some exercises. So, I finished my talk. We went out probably about an hour later during dinner. There was 40 people there. I think pretty much nearly everyone saw it, and they pointed it out. And I'm like, something's going on, because I was out there earlier. And I felt something about, came back in, and all of a sudden everyone's pointing. And it was this morphing-shaped object. Now, it appeared as a cube, as a hexagon at times. It even had a circle around it. And, yeah, I got probably about a minute and a half of that on footage. And a lady got really good photos of it that I'm trying to
obtain. Dude, those photos were nuts.
Yeah.
Like, you could see so clearly that it was, like, almost, like, morphing into a hexagonal shape. And then it was just these four balls. Did you see that? That was nuts.
And we weren't far from, like, we're in the middle of Sydney where that workshop was, pretty much. You know, we're probably like 5-10 minutes out from that. You could see the Centre Point Tower and all that sort of stuff. So that was crazy. And when we were at Bell's Beach, we had the black helicopter fly over us as well. So it's just been crazy activity. But it's been brilliant having you guys here. And it's, yeah, amazing at the moment. I think the energy's good.
Hey, so James, when craft just show themselves like that, what does that typically mean? Like, what are they communicating? Because I kind of asked you about this yesterday, and you had some interesting things to say. Do you mind telling our audience?
Yeah, it's like dazzle duty, you know. They're going, we're here, this is real. They're supporting the work we're doing. And a lot of different craft were there. I mean, we could feel the energy. When we did the Yigong class, people were just blowing wide open. Everybody was just laughing uncontrollably. And some people, tears, you know, got tears and things because the energy was so strong. But it's like a dazzle duty. It's like a high five. You know, they're coming in saying, yeah, this is real. And go within, plug into it, you know, and amazing healing work was being done there.
Daylight sighting as well. Yeah, it was probably 5:30 in the afternoon, but the sun's still up here till about 8:30. So yeah, like you saw the footage, you can see everything perfect. So yeah.
And those photos were the craziest.
Yeah, it was amazing because the photographs that she got, everybody saw something different when we were there. But the photographs showed a cross, it showed four balls, it showed a hexagon, and this thing was morphing into all different things. And they asked me, he says, why is this, what is that? What is morphine? And I said, they're showing you it's not a balloon. It's not a known object. They're doing things with the craft that you just can't explain. And that's part of the process.
What kind of metal was that? Is it metal? What can you call it?
No, it's pure energy. But, you can take a craft that is, it's like a living metal, but when you raise the frequency of the craft, it's no longer physical. And they can morph it into anything they want. And then when they come back into this dimension, it'll be physical again. So it's like extreme technology beyond anything we have.
The metal sample I've showed you guys.
I was just going to talk about that because, you know, so Peter, we can't show the video because we're live right now. So we'll show the videos of everything with the woman.
The photographs. We'll show the photographs.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we saw them. So, yeah, literally, they're like a hexagon shape, and then the next photo, set of photos she has, it's like you were saying, it looks like the cross thing and everything else. And so, it's like in the video, people are trying to figure out whether it's a balloon or not, but then when you see it start morphing, it's definitely not a balloon.
It's definitely unexplainable by anything known. It's definitely an unidentified flying object. Now, we go one step further. We know who's on the ship, and we know all about their culture and everything else, which is sad because most people in ufology are still stuck on, are they real and nuts and bolts.
Let's talk about Roswell.
yeah, exactly. Or let's talk about an abduction that happened 70 years ago.
people were seeing it through binoculars as well, so they had a really clear visual of it as well. So, and I was probably the most skeptical there because I'm just trying to debunk it. And that's why James laughs at me. I try to debunk it until I can't. But yeah, people had it with binoculars. They had a really clear vision. The video testimony I got, the guy said he first saw it at 200 meters away.
Really? What does that mean?
200 meters would be, like, it just appeared on the right of that thing that we're on the balcony. So 200, wait, so there's 3 feet to a meter, so I don't know how many feet, I just can't think at the moment. But yeah, 200 meters, 300, probably 600 feet away.
That's close.
Yeah, it was real close. And it was, you know, everybody saw it, almost everybody there saw it. And when they first saw it, there was a couple of people that were really left brain, you know, and they're going, oh, that's a balloon, like this. And we're going, that's the funniest balloon I've ever seen, you know, because balloons don't morph like that.
Yeah. They would pop.
Yeah, and the photographs proved, you know, when we saw the photographs and the video proves that there's no way this was a balloon.
The altitude too, and I surmise it might have been something around the size of a car, which would be like a normal scout ship as well, like when you look at it, because it's a pretty darn big size with the distance that it was at where I captured it. So
yeah, where it tracked, it came from behind the building. And then it went around like in a C shape and went all the way back around again. And the winds were blowing the wrong way. The winds, you know, it was going cross, and the winds were blowing this way, and it was going cross the wind. So there's no way it could be a balloon.
Do you guys have a photo of that? Did you take a photo of the one?
There's some snapshots up now on my Facebook, just a couple of snapshots from the video. I'm going to put the video up soon. Yeah, right now.
So it's Peter, Peter Maxwell Slattery. Like, look that up on Facebook.
Yeah, I'll see it straight away. And I've put it up on Twitter and Instagram. I'll eventually put the video up. We've just got so much going on these next couple of days. Yeah, but I'll
get it up. So, Ben, post that link, and then I have a question for you. So, actually, I don't know if you guys know this, but over the last couple of days, it has been pouring buckets in Sydney. It started yesterday when we first got here, and then today, this morning, it was pouring so loudly, like it woke me up. That's how loud it was. I mean, it was buckets, and it feels like the entire environment in Sydney is totally cleaning up right now, which is super cool. And Ben, did you have any experience with the rain?
Not specifically, but I think that...
What do you think about it?
Oh, well, what do I think about it? Yeah, I mean, from what everyone is telling us, like you said, in Sydney, is like, it doesn't rain like this. You know, this just doesn't happen like this. So I believe that, you know, and some of the criticism that we're getting is like, oh, are you guys here and not like, you know, with the fires and you're like doing this for money and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I believe that there are higher things for what is going on, you know, and when you have and when you have pure intent to really want to help people and do something, you know, sometimes it's not about just giving money. It's like physically being here.
I'm sorry, what money? Like, everybody here is breaking even or losing money. I'm sorry. But like,
barely the conference.
People are having a go at me, and it's like this whole thing's broken even, and it's about the information. Like, two weeks ago, we didn't even know if my home was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've been personally affected, and I've even got like another 10 warnings this morning. My house has been on code red since like 4 weeks ago. All I've got now is my suitcase. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And I haven't told that publicly because it's not like poor me. It's not just me. You know, thousands, if not, you know, a million or more Australians have been affected. You know, everyone's been affected to some extent. But yeah, people, you know, have been having a go at me about all this. And I just had to say that quickly. That's all.
Yeah, no.
I want to talk about two things. Yeah, go. Well, one's the rain. We all did a show, and we said, hey, we need to all start praying for rain. And we're working with Brendan Murray, who's the Ulukai Brendan, which is he's the king of the Raven tribe here. We're working with the indigenous people,
yes.
And we're doing Yigong and doing these practices that actually connect with the water element, the wind element, and pulling them to us to create rain. And we did that at the class, you know, that was part of the Yigong thing. So all this stuff that we've been doing is to help, you know, take out these fires, clean up the air and everything else. And it's happened right on cue. Like when I got here, I told Peter, I said, it's going to rain 2 days after I get there. And it did. It started pouring. And the rain keeps moving with us, which is really interesting. It's moving with us, and it's putting these fires out as we go.
It was in the car with us all the way from Melbourne to Sydney, and then it just landed here, right?
And I'm not taking credit for this. It's a group effort. We're all working on this to make it happen.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, so Peter just said, I thought a bomb was going off. So we were in our hotel room, like we were leaving our hotel yesterday morning. And then all of a sudden, this loud noise. I had just never heard thunder like that before. And because it like shook. Yeah, it was like the window shook. And I was like, dude, was that a bomb? And he was like, no, that was just thunder. I was like, what? That's crazy. But yeah, I think, you know, we interviewed the king, you know, and he's, this guy is like literally the king of the Aboriginals here in Australia. And it was such a great interview. You know, he really broke down everything. He was very clear about what is going on. And he believes that there is some extra force that is causing these fires. This isn't about some climate change or anything else. Like, he truly believes that something else is going on here. He believes that there are geoengineering aspects to this. And the crazy thing is, which I couldn't believe, is that he was like a Trump supporter. He like understands what is going on, you know, from all of this. So, you know, it's like from our perspective, it's like, you know, we're here also to try to explain everyone's situation, like, you know, have people tell their situations, you know, not just but driving here. So when we drove from Melbourne to Sydney, we all kind of like we were driving two cars, and we went this like back way of who I was driving with, and the smoke was super dense. It was really, really dense.
About an hour and a half to the right of you, you would have got near my property. Where I am, that's there's still stuff happening there now, but we're seeing days of rain in Melbourne coming up and Sydney, and I think a lot of this is going to die right down. That's what I'm hoping. So it looks like it from the map and what you were talking about as well. So that's brilliant for the people.
Summer too, we're here, and this is their dry. Yeah, this is their dry season. So it's the middle of summer. So these rains are unheard of, and you know, I always tell people, you know, you've got HAARP, you've got all this geoengineering, all this other stuff. But you've got the collective consciousness that can override all of that. And that's what we're doing. We're saying, screw this stuff. We're bringing the storms in anyway. And they had a big Aboriginal meeting. All of them got together to create the rain, to bring the rain in. And that overrode all the other technology, which I think is amazing. Yeah.
So what did you say?
Oh, that's what the Native Americans do as well. They got like the rain dance and all that sort of stuff. It sounds crazy, but they're tapped into energetics and the elements, and they understand how these things work.
So, yeah, into the land, right?
Yeah, definitely into the land. So they know how to, manipulate or work with it more so of how to make these things possible.
Right, right.
So we're seeing a big cleanup happening at the moment. I really think these are going to die down. Unfortunately, I predicted this stuff on your show going back. We actually had it in October. It didn't come out till about November, and there's a lot of other things, like we're seeing more typhoons. Another massive volcano went off a couple of days ago, I think, in the Philippines, which is going into an area where I think either 500,000 or 5 million people are going to be directly affected. And so we're seeing floods there as well, and probably in time we're going to see some floods up the top end of Australia again, which if they don't get rain for a while, the soil's that dense that it just creates these big inland rivers.
So, Peter, talking about the predictions you made, your first video dropped on edgeofwonder.tv just recently, right? Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's been getting, like, super good feedback. Like, people love it. Did you want to talk about that first?
Yeah. I'll just talk about it quickly. So, working with the Edge of Wonder crew now, and the first season is going to be unraveled every Sunday. And, actually, I've got the second season done pretty much, just editing. So, I'm hopefully bringing out one episode a week every Sunday, I think is what the crew said. And there's a lot of data that I've been talking about where I bring in scientific evidence, other whistleblowers, testimony and evidence. And I'm starting to put a picture together to where people can come to their own conclusions. But it's based on the ascension process. And it's not what people think, but it does cover nearly everything. So it's going to take a long time to unravel because I think it's important for people to get a blueprint perspective of whether it's, you know, The environment, energetic changes, you know, spiritual teachings, extraterrestrial races, spirit beings. I think we need to sort of look at everything, and that's what I'm hoping to do with this, is bring another perspective for people to connect their own dots with this series that's going on. So, and I thank you guys for the support as well. And there's been amazing comments. I was blown out with a lot of the comments already for just the last few days that it's been around. Yeah.
That's awesome. And, you know, since we've been here, we've been hanging out with John Vivanco, who's actually not feeling well today.
Send a prayer out to John, because he's having a rough one here.
He got hit hard with a head cold.
Off has been getting hit with this weird sinus flu, and then we've been spending 12 hours a day in a car to get from here to there. And everybody goes, oh, you guys are just hanging out, cashing in and stuff like that. They have no idea what we've been to do this stuff.
Well, and the other aspect is too, you know, when we did, so a week ago, we were on, all of us were on our show live, you know, exactly a week ago. And we were just asking, like, our viewers to really pray for rain and while we're here. And literally, it's pretty much been raining at least once a day since we've been here. But since we've been in Sydney, it's just raining nonstop.
Dumping. Yeah, and, you know, it works. That collective, that those intention experiments worked. And we did one on Coast to Coast a long time ago with Art Bell, and he did an intention experiment to bring in the UFOs. And we, so many, their lines were just shut down. They had so many people calling in, and their phone lines, their computer lines, their email, everything were jammed for weeks with people that had sightings when they did the intention experiment. It works no matter what you intend. If you get enough people, set a good intention, focus on it, you're going to draw it to you, you're going to create it. And that's, we need to do more of that, more group intention experiments to help out the fires and any quakes or anything that's happening around the world. We need to work together, you know, to help out those less fortunate.
So we were in a, Ben and I actually were, actually all of us were in a remote viewing class with John Vivanco yesterday. It was awesome. Yeah. And since we've been here, all six of us have been talking nonstop. It's just literally like we've just been sharing 24/7 about all kinds of stuff. And so first of all, I kind of wanted to, because we had very interesting experiences in the remote viewing class, and I kind of wanted to, because Ben and I were new with this. I mean, and, like, we do our own thing, but John's style, right?
The technique. Yes. There's like an official technique. We've just been doing it on ourselves, right? But John actually is teaching the technique, and really, he's like, you can pretty much teach this to anybody, you know?
Yeah. Share your experience from the first, like his first session, and then I want, like, we can kind of tell you guys about some of the stuff that we're cooking up on edgeofwonder.tv regarding remote viewing, because it's going to blow your mind.
Well, before we go into the, speaking of edgeofwonder.tv, we just published David Wilcock's fourth video today, which is your Thursday, our Friday, so it's confusing. We're, like, in the future here. Yeah, you say we're in the future or in the past, yeah.
From the future, right.
Yeah. But yeah, so I just wanted to put that. And then we're going to have John actually do a show on edgeofwonder.tv explaining this exact process of how to do it. So basically what he does is he thinks of just like some a set of numbers that he just creates. And so John was hired originally as a contractor to literally for the CIA to do the, or FBI, not CIA, sorry, yeah. He hates the CIA, by the way. FBI, yeah, to do these things. So they developed a system of how to do this. So you just get a set of numbers, you don't know anything about it. So then, you know, as you kind of do a few things, and then basically he starts off really simple, like focus on what colors do you see, what sounds do you see a structure, like, how does it feel? What's the texture like? You know, those just very basic stuff, right? So the first one that we were all doing, you know, I was just seeing like a blue sky, clouds, and I just started like writing things down that I was kind of water. I kept getting water.
Yeah, I did too. I drew water, and then I drew the structure itself and the different layers of it and the triangular structure. And I said, this is multi-tiered. And I drew everything on there. But what's weird, though, the weird thing is I drew I go, why am I drawing a mountain on fire? It makes no sense whatsoever. And that's what they were showing at the amphitheater.
Let's get to that.
Yeah. Well, kind of makes sense when you draw it, but then you go, okay, that's where that came from.
So John wanted to keep it very simple. He wanted to do something that was a fact. You know, he didn't want to do an event that could possibly have, like, over here, over there. It's just like, here is something that is pure fact, and I want you guys to view this and see what you get. So then you do it twice, and then the second time I got smoke, and the same thing, I was like seeing these like structures, like almost like a mountain over a river or over an ocean, and I'm like, what the heck is it? Because at some point he's like, I want you to draw what you're feeling and what you're seeing, and so like James and I drew the same thing. It looked like it was kind of like these mountain things over this ocean, and then I saw smoke, danger. And then I saw like an enclosed space and something white.
Dude, I kept smelling like something like a VCR. Like I kept smelling that. And I kept seeing this white, smooth surface. And then when he asked us to trash that, he was like, put this aside and start another one. And I was like, why do I keep seeing fire? How does this have anything to do with me seeing white, smooth surfaces, right? It was so bizarre.
So I was thinking, I was like, maybe this is a plane that went down. That's what I started thinking. So you do this thing where he calls it AOL, and I can't remember what it stands for. Yeah. Analytic something.
Overlay.
Yeah. So basically, like he used an analogy of a fire truck. Like let's say you're seeing something red and shiny, where you just write down, okay, possibly fire truck, and then but you have to like push that out of your mind and forget about it and then kind of start all over again, because he said, you know, sometimes like when they did that, everyone said red fire truck, but it ended up being an apple.
Yeah.
So he said, you know, because once you dwell on that, then your whole notions shift over and you start thinking about more about the fire truck. And that's what happened with me at this airplane, because I was like, smoke, shiny steel over the ocean, danger. There's like enclosed space. I was like, yeah, it's an airplane that crashed, you know? But turns out it was the Sydney Opera House.
So, dude,
wrote Sydney.
Yeah, one lady drew
Sydney Opera House.
She drew the Sydney Opera House, and she wrote her AOL was Sydney Opera House, just to get it out. And then
fires being projected onto it, so that's why you're getting the fires, because they are actually projecting the bushfires onto the opera house.
Started to write Sydney, and I go, no, I didn't do it. And I went, oh, man, I should have wrote it. You know,
it's funny, like, when you're doing it, while you're doing it, a lot of your struggle is like, am I making this up? Because once you see or feel something, your mind will start to kind of create things, or your notions will come up. And so that's why John is constantly saying, like, just get it out and erase it from your mind and then keep going, because you can get stuck on stuff, and then, you know,
You have to do that, because I've been remote viewing for 10 years. And a couple of years ago, I was taught John's method, which is very similar, but he acts when you go in a 5-day process with him, which I recommend, he takes you more into the body. And that way is how a lot of these professionals are doing it now. So how they operate from the way they teach you is different after they're fully adapt to it. And so, like I said to you guys, like I was meditating for 3.5 years. All I did every day was just meditation and remote viewing. And it sort of enhances each thing. And then all of a sudden you can drop the remote viewing away and just do it how you do through meditation. But it becomes a more direct, quick, and fast aspect when you go multidimensional mind. So I highly recommend the way that John does it, because it's different from the way the military does it. He's got the process of that, but he's elaborated it, and you're not confined to a box how you are if you do it the way that certain military or ex-military people incorporate, you know, do their RV training and teaching and the methodology.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about John is he's like this. He'll task a bunch of people to do this, and then he does it himself. But because he knows and he's so experienced doing it, when people give him data, he can look at all of the data together, and then he kind of comes to a conclusion about kind of what's going on. And then he said there's like a 90 or greater percent accuracy rate, which is totally incredible.
He hit the when they're remote viewing during Ancient Aliens, which we don't even want to talk about them anymore. But they hit, his remote viewers were tasked in a whole different location, the ships that came over. And the first one that came over was, we used Heavens Above. It was a satellite. We knew it was a satellite. It was pretty impressive. We knew it was a satellite. Well, his remote viewers saw a metal object and light around it, and then they said it, you know, they wrote satellite. Yeah, solar panels, everything, satellite, you know, like this. The next one came over was a ship, and next one they drew like these, a light craft with angelic beings on it and everything else. And that was not, it was an unknown, it wasn't on the data. It's definitely not a satellite and everything else. So they totally validate the data that we're getting and the observation of what we're seeing. So it's amazing how accurate it is.
Yeah, you know, I think that's been the amazing experience, like, just hanging out with John, because, like, you know, with all of us, we're kind of doing our own, like, it was like, John, have you looked into this? And sometimes he'll be like, yes and no, and then, you know, we'll explain what we understand with it and ask him about it, and he's like, yeah, man, that's actually, like, what we saw, too, you know? So it's really interesting, but with the Sydney Opera House, I was like, man, my first reaction was like, man, I was so off on this, you know? But then...
When I came and talked to you, I said, look, they were showing the mountains on fire and everything else at the Sydney Opera House. So when I showed you that, somebody came up to me and goes, no, you weren't off. That's what they're doing there.
Yeah, like Peter just said, we all had hits. Right. And even John came over to me and he's like, how'd you do? And I was like, and he looked at the drawing I did. He's like, dude, you pretty much drew it. You drew the, cause I was like, yeah, I kept seeing this like, I was like, it wasn't a mountain range, but it looked like, and he's like, yeah, you know, and then he's like the smoke. And then he's like, you know, we're in Australia.
You know, the panels on it, how it's like a triangular shape and they're degrade. I mean, they're grades of levels, you know, as it goes up. I had that whole thing drawn. I had the panels drawn on it, the shape of it, and everything on it. But I had no idea what it was. I go, what is this? Is this some alien ship or something? You know, it's just like, it's weird how that comes. It comes out of nowhere. You know?
It is. And it's interesting because he said a lot of the people who are really good at remote viewers can't draw. And I was like, man, that's like me exactly. You know, Rob can draw really, really well.
You don't want to draw because then you're in the mind, you're in the intellect, and you want to just sketch and let it, and then you figure it out later. But it'll, you know, it's pretty accurate. It may not be like perfectly drawn, you know, like an architect, but you know, it's, you can tell what it is.
The second one though was pretty hard. was Felix Braunberger. He's the guy who was the space jump from Red Bull, who was actually in outer space and, like, you know, was the highest diver or skydiving ever recorded in history. And he gave us that one, and like everybody was getting so many different things because, and I was talking to John about it afterwards, and I was like, man, I was really off. And he's like, well, what did you get? And I was like, well, like, you know, I got a forest, and then I was like, I got rain, and I got night, and then I got day, and then I got, like, I saw a lighthouse at one point. I was like, I don't really even know. And he's like, well, you know, you could be experiencing a lot of different things. You could be seeing what he's seeing. Yeah. Because, you know, he's jumping from space, and he's like, the night and day, obviously, would go, like, you're you know, from space, you're seeing the moon, you're seeing the sun. You know, he's diving down. He probably, you know, he landed in Mexico, and he's like, he probably was like seeing all kinds of landscapes and everything else in the ocean. And then he's like, that's probably, you know, you were experiencing all of that. And he's like, that's why I did this one, because it was a little bit harder and I wanted to see what people could come up with.
Everybody was getting the same thing. They were seeing the earth from space or from sky, and they're drawing continents, kind of land masses, oceans. And they said, I can't, they go, because usually you go, is it solid? Is it a landmass? Is it, but it was all of it. And so they were getting all of it, and they couldn't figure out why I'm getting everything, and it totally adds up because you're looking from space down on everything.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is that after the first one, which was an object or a landmark, like in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, this must be a location or something like that. And so it's really about breaking down these barriers of not having any notions. And that's what John was really explaining. He's like, yeah, the less notions you have and the more clear your mind is, the more you're going to be able to see more with these.
We did, the first time I did remote viewing with them, I had no idea what I was doing. I drew a black hat, a black cat. I drew a theater, a balcony, head pain. I put all this stuff, and it turned out to be Lincoln's assassination. But what's really weird is the black cat. I go, this makes no sense whatsoever. So we Googled Lincoln and Black Cat. He was the first one to bring a black cat into the White House as a pet, and it died, and it still roams the halls. It's a ghost cat. So it doesn't make any sense, but you do the research, you go, whoa, now it all adds up.
Yeah, it's like your body knows these things. John constantly says that. He's like, your body knows. And like, one of the most exciting things that we have going on right now is Peter and John decided to create a new concept for a show. This is something you guys have been doing, but we're actually going to do this on edgeofwonder.tv, where you guys remote view something and then go explore a certain area to see if there's truth to what you remote viewed, right?
Definitely. So how it's going to work is John is going to, like, we're going to pick the location. So we're going to go to the most paranormal spots on the planet, mainly in Australia and America at the moment. And so John's going to get it. He's going to remote view when and how the activity is going to happen. Not just him, but his team of professional remote viewers. I'm going to be the bait thrown in there because, like John says, I've got different genetics and I seem to be able to pick this stuff up. You know, that's what John says from the data that he's got. So it's like you put John and I together. It's going to be really interesting what we're going to find, what we're going to get. So, you know, we're looking at places like Skinwalker Ridge or around Skinwalker Ranch if we can get on it as well. We've possibly got connections. East Eddy Ranch, Mount Buffalo here in Australia. Mount Shasta, there's all these, like, we've got a list of like 30 places already to go, and we're going to knock them down slowly. It's going to take a bit of time, but we want to do this professionally and get the data and get the evidence of what's going to happen. So we even saw this with John and me in the past with Ancient Aliens, which, you know, it was a bit of write off on James, but this didn't get put in, but in the morning I meditated and I had this iridescent rainbow feline being connect with me and said it would be at this time, at this location, to the right of Mount Adams. Now, later I found out that John got the same data. Now, it wasn't put in, but Nick Pope even said on camera he was there when I was talking about it, like the former Minister of Defence or Ministry of Defence in Britain. So, like, this is the stuff that I can do and John can do it as well, but when you combine this, I think it's going to be a really good way to be able to capture this. It'll sort of be like, I guess, UFO hunters mixed with ghost hunters combining remote viewing, and it's not just going to be John, as I said, it's going to be his whole team looking into it. So we're going to be boots on the ground in these locations, you know, not talking about when you go to where apparently these places have the activity.
Okay, so here's something really interesting. Have you guys heard of the stuff going on Twitter with this woman named Somerset Belanoff? Have you guys heard of that? Okay, so let me explain this to you because we've all been really busy and traveling and stuff. But John is included in this. This is why this is interesting. So over the last couple of days, this strange, I guess, post started to get circulated. A website was up, who is Somerset Belanoff and all of this stuff. And then Annans and people all across the world have been doing digs on this woman, Somerset Belanoff, right? And so what this website claims, it's a very neat, clean website, who is Somerset Belanoff, and it like has all of this information about her, her history. She's apparently from this House of Wettin, and she's an Illuminati queen. And she gave the go-ahead for the Q operation and like all of this stuff, right? Like, this is just... So, all right. Right, right.
That's like red flags all over it, right?
Right. So, okay, so now you have a bunch of people that are like, all right, red flags, and then you have a bunch of people that are like, no, no, this is serious. Look into this. It's crazy. All of that stuff, right? And so I was like, all right. So, you know, all of us have been doing research on this stuff like crazy over the past 2 years. And it's like, what's so strange is...
Well, this is fascinating because I didn't know anything about this. And I'm actually glad that you didn't, that I don't know anything about it. The only thing, I'm like visually seeing blood in my mind.
Yeah. Well, that's because of Luxembourg. I'll explain that in a second. But anyway, so who is this woman, really? Like, what's going on? So I, over the last couple of days, John and I have just been going hard digging on this, right? Not doing remote viewing, just digging on this, like, confused about it, because, like, who is this woman? And more importantly, we've been doing all of this research. Why haven't we heard of this? Okay, so apparently she's the great-granddaughter, or something like that, of Rasputin. And Queen Victoria or something. Okay, so first of all, Rasputin was like a dirty scoundrel monk. He was a...
Calling him a monk is like blasphemous.
They call him a mad monk. No, but they called him the mad monk, right? Like monk of occult stuff. And he's right. It would be blasphemous. But this is like what they say about
him. Yeah, I mean, he's
totally crazy. I mean, he was involved with all these weird sex cults, inviting and involving minors and all kinds of things. And I mean, he was insane, right? Totally. And he got shot. Or he was like tried to the poison
shot.
Like, yeah, all this stuff happened to him until finally these guys like had to like. Like, they shot him, and he still came after him until he, like, finally died, you know? But this dude was insane.
Yeah, anyway, low-level douche. And he and Queen Victoria, apparently, like, something like that. Okay, maybe it wasn't Queen Victoria, but that's her great-granddaughter, and she's related to Queen Victoria. And somehow, so the House of Wettin has a relationship with the royal family in Britain, all of this stuff, and she gives the go-ahead for everything. This is what people are saying, and then you have people digging on this, looking at the website, all of this stuff, right? And so of course, what's strange is, like, if she's so important, there's just no way we wouldn't have come across her in our research because of how hard we dug on this, right? Okay, so once we got to a certain point, John and I were, like, quite sure. We're like, we even coined a term about it. This is a digstraction. This is basically allowing people to dig endlessly on Twitter, but there's like there's nothing there, right?
I mean, what I'm getting from all of this is like a pure psyop. The other side are like really afraid now of Q. They realize like how much influence Q has had over the whole world. You know, all these pedophiles are coming out. I mean, you look at Adam Schiff's Twitter, it's full of comments. Yeah. They can't even censor it anymore because like 90% of it is comments on like, you're gonna go down, treason, you know, pedophile, all these different things. And they're freaking out. They don't know what to do. And, you know, they thought the impeachment would work. This didn't work. So the only thing they can do now is like, we need to shift the narrative and try to take control over what Q is. And that's what I feel like this is.
Yeah, okay. So, exactly, Ben. So we actually, at a certain point, once we had finished our research, John and I decided to kind of look into this a little bit and do what he taught us to do. So we had three different people remote viewing this, aside from what Ben just said. And all of us were like, we saw her. She's a real person. But then it was like nothing, like empty. Just like white light, like not anything.
That's exactly what I'm seeing. It's like I just see like there's this, she's there, and then it's just there's just nothing.
When you're talking, I got a nothing burger. Another nothing burger. That's what I got right away.
This woman is lying. Even she's not even part of any of this stuff. Yeah. They're just making all this up, this narrative to build her up.
You know, they're scared right now, and I see that. What I do is, well, I'll go in there. I don't go on the computer a lot, but I'll go in. I just look at the comment section, you know, to see how they're doing. And it is. The whole comment section is just slamming them over and over, calling them out. And they have their own little censors in there now. They had to hire people to censor the comment section to make it look like people actually believe what they're saying.
You know, yeah, so this is really interesting. So there is some stuff that I don't quite understand yet about this. Like, for instance, Somerset Belanoff's daughter, purportedly, okay, her name is Karina Belanoff, and she runs that cannibalism restaurant in L.A. that you and I have to... Now, if this is a psychological operation... Right. If this is a psych... First of all, who in their right mind would have a cannibalism, you know, restaurant?
Just to be fair, there's a lot of criticism to say this is fake, that somebody else created this website, you know, and put these people... I think Katy Perry is mentioned in one of these things.
Tons of stars are mentioned in this. It just seems so... It seems as strange as the Who is Somerset Belanoff website.
Yeah, and that's why with...
Yeah. Well, full of themselves stuff. You know, a lot of people go, this is fear porn, you know, why are you talking about this stuff? You're messing with my buzz, you know. You hear all this stuff and everything, but you know, enlightenment means to be in knowledge of all of it. You can't do half truths anymore, and you have to bring this information out. And I guarantee you, after hanging out with these guys, they are profoundly spiritual. They do their practices every day. They do their meditation, their walk, and they're walking it. So it's very important to drop all this nonsense. That's a thought form that came out of Stanford you know, research, basically. It's the New Age is just another program, you know, it's another program. So deny, to keep you in denial. So you don't look at what's really going on. And so, and they go, oh, if it's out there, it's in you and whatever, you know, it's just like, forget it. It's happening. It's real. We need to address it. We need to shine the light on it and bring it out. And the profoundly spiritual people are the ones that are awake and they know what's going on and they're trying to awaken others to stop the suffering, you know, basically.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, that really means a lot to both of us, you know, what you're saying. And I think, you know, going on with this whole topic of remote viewing and everything else, like I think the main thing is for anybody out there that's kind of watching this, like, oh, I want to look into this, I want to look into that. I think be very careful. You know, we're not really trying to encourage everyone to go out and remote view things, especially a lot of these dark things and stuff like that.
Like, if you go into this really dark satanic thing and you're remote viewing it, well, they know you're remote viewing it, and they'll follow you home. So you better learn how to heal unseen negative influences, shield yourself, and really hook into these higher dimensional energies, because they're going to be necessary.
I recommend Thor's hammer for that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and like you said, this is why, like, for both of us, this is really comes down to our own meditations every day and doing these things like that we do, because this is how it helps me to kind of, you know, this, like, sometimes I feel like I'm, like, when I'm in a really good state like that, it's like I'm behind a window, and I see this, like, window, and it's like a two-way mirror, right? So it's like, when it's like, it allows me to see certain things, and then it's kind of like, okay, you know, because here's what's going on, and it's like, I can see these things without those things attaching to me. And then when I do feel that negative energy, then I just like really focus and meditate and bring the pure light energy in my body and clean it out and everything.
Yeah, you can do your spiritual virtual shield. You know, you can like, okay, I'm going to do it here. And so they can't backtrack it, and you just put up barriers. And you can do a lot all through higher consciousness. And so, you know, you don't want to go blazing right in there and, hey, I'm here, you know, because you are there, you know, and they see you and they know who you, and they can track you back.
Exactly. And that's why it's really important, you guys, like, you know, be responsible if you're doing these things, you know.
If there's no need to look into something, don't. Like when John and I were researching the Somerset Belanoff thing, we were like focused on researching, and then only when we had enough data were we like, should we look into this or not? And then it was like, let's give it a try. And then we did, and it was just nothing.
Yeah. And I think the other aspect too is like, since we're doing a show, it's kind of like there's certain things that we need to see, and by me talking about it really helps. Because before, when these things were happening to me, before we started doing the show, it was like, you know, I was getting nightmares, and it was like all this stuff was just kind of holding inside of me. And now that it's like I found a release for it, where it's like by talking about it and exposing it, that side gets afraid, actually. Because
there's a thing too that it ties into remote viewing. It's called direct knowing. And you just we're all moving into that. It's a DNA pattern that's opening up because of the changes we're going through. And so that direct knowing and telepathy as well. These guys are screwed, you know. Did we lose our thing? Oh, fly. Yeah, because the masses are waking up and they're being activated and people are getting it. And that, like I was saying, I look at the comment section to see if people are getting it, and they are getting it, and they're not falling for the you know, engineering that's going on. So I mean, we're being socially engineered on such a mass scale right now, but. You know, nobody's listening to the social engineer anymore, like CNN is in the toilet, you know. It's like everybody's going, I can't do this anymore, because of the direct knowing, the ascension process that's underway, and the telepathy. People are feeling who they are, you know.
So let me tell you guys about a couple of funny things that happened over the last couple of days, because we've all been so busy. So, okay, the Project Veritas stuff on Bernie Sanders dropped, right? Okay, now everybody... Yeah, everybody here knows who Bernie Sanders is. He's a very socialist guy, right? This is objectively speaking. He's a very socialist guy.
He says he's socialist.
Okay.
Communist would be a better way to say it. Well,
Actually, so the stuff that dropped on Project Veritas about Bernie Sanders was, I believe, his organizer, like his campaign organizer guy, and he's saying stuff in these videos that dropped, basically like anyone who goes against us should be put in gulags, shot in the middle of the street, dude. Yeah, so a lot of them didn't get to see some of this stuff. It's like, it's outrageous. And he's not even, he's against anyone who's against him or the revolution. It's not socialist anymore. It's full on communist. It's like communist revolutionary, like Russia.
Yeah.
Russia.
Dictator.
Russia / China stuff, right? Okay, so now what's really interesting is there on the other side of this, because I'll really make you guys laugh, is Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have this like this kind of friendship that they've had for a really long time. They're like cordial with one another. They don't say anything bad about one another, whatever. But recently at the Democratic debate, Elizabeth Warren walks up to Bernie Sanders and is like, "Did you call me a liar on national television?" And Bernie Sanders is like, "What? No, I didn't call, his voice. I didn't call you a, you called me a, and then let's not do that here." You know, that kind of thing. Right. And then, so all of a sudden there's all of this argument, this conflict that comes up. Yeah. Between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, which is really funny. And if you go to Elizabeth Warren's like Twitter feed, like I think I showed you this the other day. It's like every single comment on her Twitter feed is like hundreds of snake emojis. Like people just like putting reptilian stuff in her. It's so, dude, the first time I saw it, I was laughing so hard because it's like these guys are just falling apart at the seams. Like there's not, they're all like, look, yeah. That guy, Cory Booker, well, that was his name, right? He dropped out the other day, right? He seemed like an operation to begin with anyway. They're like putting all of these people out there just to try out. And I've been seeing these funny memes about like how the Democrats are always talking about diversity, but all of the Democrats are white. Like it's all that's available are just these like white folks. And it's like, who cares? We don't care about race or anything like that. But it's like funny because there's so many like conflicting things with what they say and how they operate and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
I got a meme and people are going to say it's really unspiritual, but somebody sent this meme and they were saying like, looking for a viable candidate in the Democratic Party is like searching for a Tootsie Roll in a septic tank, you know. Kind of nailed it. I just go, these guys, I mean, I'm all for let's bring somebody in that really knows, they're really service oriented, they know what they're doing and everything else. And I'm all for the competition. It keeps everybody straight, you know, on center and stuff like that. But they've got nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they should just go get a farmer. You know, bring him in or something. Yeah.
Word on the street is Michelle Obama is their candidate. Or I should say maybe Michael Obama.
Yeah, yeah. I wish that needs to come out.
Yeah.
All of that. You know, that whole presidency needs to be exposed.
I'll tell you what, it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Yeah. So actually, so there are, that's a lot of the discussion is like either Hillary might come out or Michelle Obama will come out. But really, if you think about it strategically from their standpoint, they would be looking at Michelle over Hillary. But they also know if they play that card, her dong is going to be exposed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe.
No, I mean, everyone's going to go after that, right? I mean, he's called her Michael in public like several times. Like what? Who? You don't mistakenly call your wife Michelle Michael unless something weird's going on. I mean, really, just think about it, right?
She scares me. I hate to say it. She just, that woman scared. Well, I don't want to say that, but I don't want to say the woman word. But
no, this isn't about women. Besides, she might not be.
But. It's the you feel the behind attitude. You know, we need to get somebody in that's balanced, that's tapped in, that's spiritual, that's totally service oriented. And that's just not there, you know. And I can't go into what we talked about at the conference, but it was really funny. But I was surprised how many Trump fans were at the conference. And I would say out of, what, the 40, 50 people there, maybe two were not.
You get some Australians that are like that just hate Trump for no reason. Like, and you know, it's not even our country now. There is a close, basically, we've always got an eye on America. Because what America does, we're always next to them. And the same with New Zealand and Canada and the UK or the United Kingdom. But look at, you know, I'm not into politics. I do follow it, but I'm not into it. But look at what Trump's done. The highest unemployment rate in history. Companies bought back. Jobs bought back. Veterans' healthcare. Like, all this stuff that could have been done years ago is starting to be done. Like, all I'm saying to people is, like him or not, just look at the results. And if you're getting results, like, America has had to look after its own country for the first time in a long time, meaning they were putting bases or everywhere else. Their own country started to become a third world country with the 10 cities. I've been to the 10 cities. This stuff is now being rectified. People are getting jobs now. We've got big problems with, you know, rent, whether it's in Portland. I saw people, they're paying the same amount for rent as we are in Sydney. You're basically working two jobs full-time just to live. But with what Trump's doing, we're seeing that the American people are getting their jobs, their money back. It's like, sort out your own backyard first before you go and help others. And that's what I think America's needed to do, and that's what we need to do here as well, because we do a lot for other countries with Australia, with refugees, things like that. I'm all for it, but I think when we start to see our own backyard decline, it's like, hey, let's clean up our backyard and then go back out there helping others. And Trump's doing a brilliant job of that, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting watching people, because I ask them, and I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. Just a little disclaimer there. I'm just an observer watching this. And whenever I see people just viciously attack and say things, and I go, well, do you have any personal experience about that? And they go, no. And I said, well, where's your knowledge coming from? You know, and they'll go,
Anderson Cooper.
Exactly. CNN, you know. And I said, well, do you know if any of that is true? Have you done any real research other than what the mainstream media, which is the deep state, and are telling you? I mean, they are going down, they're being exposed, and they're going to do everything they can to take down the person that's taking them down. It's obvious. And so, you know, and there's a lot of stories about Trump that people haven't heard, where he's taken people of different color, you might say, that had addiction problems, had things like that. He set them up. He got them rehabilitated. He took care of them until they got rehabilitated. You know, there's all these stories that people don't even hear or know because he doesn't brag about it. And I think people need to start telling these stories about how much he's helped people just out of the blue. You know,
he's taking money for his job, is he?
Yeah.
Like one, what is it? Yeah. $1 or something?
That's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. Here you have
$1.
Yeah, here you have a self-made millionaire that goes into politics. You know, and then you have all these other people that went into politics and became millionaires. Who are you going to trust? You know, how did they become millionaires? We have to start asking those questions.
That's a great point.
Well, yeah, because I mean, like Obama was making $400,000 a year when he was president.
Yeah.
But then, like, he owns like multi-million-dollar homes everywhere.
He has billions stashed away.
Well, yeah, and you know, one of the insiders we talked to, like, so there's this controversy about. He went to Hawaii, and the media says, oh, he just rented this home while he was there. But one of the insiders we talked to said, no, Obama paid $40 million for this home in cash.
And beachfront property. So if they're all into global warming and all this other stuff and the oceans are rising, why are all these guys buying beachfront property?
In Hawaii.
They're pushing it the most.
Yeah, in Hawaii, when we were there, you know, people were like, oh, this one area, this is like Bill Gates has his home here. All of these like super famous like politicians, Hollywood actors, musicians, they all live in this one area of Hawaii, you know. On the beach.
Yeah. So, good question.
So I don't know if you know this, Ben. I think you might have seen the message this morning, but Edge of Wonder is about to hit 400,000 subscribers on YouTube. So... yeah, we clap, but we all know it should be about a million by now if it wasn't for YouTube censorship. So, bite me, YouTube. And yeah,
they shadow ban us so bad, it's unbelievable. Because when we had Contact Has Begun, when we introduced it, the first one, it had 28 million hits in 2 weeks. It was huge. And then we do Contact Has Begun 2, and we go to release it, and it's like, well, I don't know, what's it?
130,000 views.
We have all these subscribers, and all of a sudden, half of them are gone. You know, and I'm going, "What is going on here?" The shadow banning, and people dropped, and I'm getting emails from all these people. I love your show. What happened? You know, like this, and I go, "We didn't drop you." You know, like this, and you know, that's got to end. That we need somebody to step in.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah. I just want to say quickly too, like. you guys are really tapped in, you two. Like, and but having all of us together, it's like when we wake up, everyone's doing their own thing, but we almost work in sync together. And like even yesterday, I walked out of the conference hall, and Jordan Sather's doing like running laps around this big cricket oval, and I'm just like, this is freaking awesome. Like everyone's doing their thing, but that's what I mean. Is like, it doesn't mean you have to meditate, you know, every day. Though I do recommend even a short meditation or whatever, but find what's spiritual for you. Meaning, even if it is a walk or a run or doing weights or dancing, you know, whatever it is. And I just want to say it's been a ball with you guys, because like all of us have just been embraced hanging around each other, and we're still doing what we do in our own private time. But usually with conferences and things like that, if you're on a tour or something, you're lacking all that. But this has just been brilliant. Everyone's just bouncing off each other, and that's what I want to leave it with. Yeah.
I think we all need to move in to an Iseti somewhere.
Yeah. Also, too, we've gone through these cycles, and massive amounts of energy are hitting the planet right now, and people are really going into process. And it's really good to understand and help depersonalize the shift going on and help each other out through it, because people are really facing their stuff. It's coming up everywhere, and it's really intense, and we're all feeling it here, but we're dealing with it. But I know there's a lot of people out there sending me emails and just say, you know, it's going to get better. This is just the chaos that's coming up to get healed and to get cleared. And that's our own wounds and traumas from past experience. And we need to forgive ourselves, forgive others, release the past and go forward, because these energies are a gift. And they're bringing everything up so we can look at it and heal it. And you're not alone. Just know you're not alone. And it's not just you going through this process. The whole planet is.
Awesome. And I just want to make sure to remind everyone that our buddy David Wilcock, it just dropped on edgeofwonder.tv. So if you haven't seen that interview yet, it's only on edgeofwonder.tv. Go check it out. And I'm going to let Ben bring us out.
Okay. Awesome. Well, this has been an amazing interview with all of us. So, yeah, I guess until next time, we will see you guys out.